Surprising thing happened. It is called SELA, S-E-L. And the surprising thing that happened when I was there recently, the first time we were taken there, and we had our meal, and we went up to the counter, and I went up to pay, and all of a sudden I hear this bong, this bell go, and a lady from the kitchen came out, hallelujah. What it was is every time we received someone who gave a tip, they actually pressed this bell and somebody popped up from the kitchen. And since I gave, I think I was feeling generous that day, I gave a fairly good tip and I said, that wasn't a very good hallelujah, was it? So what did they do? You did it again, bong, and this girl came out, hallelujah. I think they're going to hear it in the next street, you know. And I was thinking about that, I thought, I said to myself, sometimes it's hard to draw out thanksgiving and praise. And when I reminded, they did it very well, but first time it was quite half-hearted. And that struck me that as Christians, I think we're slow to be thankful to God. We've got so much to thank him for, and yet we are very slow in putting that into practice in our lives. And that's why I chose that, and we could look at it in a moment, but think of that verse that we're going to think of in Ephesians. And when you hear things like giving thanks always for all things, it stops in your track. You're like, wait a minute, is that me? So I want to consider that this morning. And I think, as in all the Christian lives, it's a duty, and we grow in duty, and our understanding of the scriptures, and our understanding of God, and our understanding of our walk with him, and that's true of being thankful to God as well. And we grow in that, and we develop in that. And you think, well, I'm a thankful person, and I know I've been forgiven, and I know I've got peace with God, and I can live a life according to that. But so often that's not the case, and we need to grow in it, like our children. What do? Well, we teach them to say, please, and we have to teach them to say, thank you. There's a development. They don't do it automatically. It's something we have to teach them. And it's something, I think, that we have to grow in the Christian faith. And a Christian life is a growing faith. It's a developing faith. You never stop there. You continue to grow in it. And listen to this little testimony I've got here from someone, and I'll tell you who it is in a moment. May I give you a personal testimony? You would have thought, perhaps, that a man having preached in the same pulpit for over 20 years would begin to feel that he had exhausted the Bible or that it ceased to stimulate him. My feeling, on the contrary, is that I'm only just beginning. It is more and more increasingly marvelous. I find it more and more thrilling week after week. I sometimes wish there were two Sundays in a week, and even more. It is so extraordinary. What a stimulating, thrilling, exhilarating life this is. May not surprise you, but that's Dr. Martin. After 20 years ministering, he knew that the depths and the joy and the wonder and the treasures that are in the Word of God constantly need to be developed and exposed with us as the people of God. So let's consider that then, and consider our thankfulness and how thankful we are before God. Before we start, let me issue a few warnings. Whenever you hear a thanks in the Bible and elsewhere, when you perhaps say grace and you thank God for your meal, what do? You give thanks. You don't just thanks, you give thanks. So by definition, you are giving something. You are exercising a gift. You're passing something on. You're giving something. You are parting with something. You're saying, I'm giving something. You're saying to yourself, I'm not self-reliant. I'm giving over something to God. God is sovereign in my life. God is sovereign in all aspects of my life. and I'm giving over something in that. I've got a debt to God, and I'm giving something to God. So every time we give thanks, we're saying, I owe a debt to God. He is sovereign. Whatever I have in my life, whoever I am, all the blessings that men have come is because of God. So we give something. It costs us something to give something. When we give a present, we bought it and we give it over, and it costs us something. So be careful. In one sense, you say, it's going to cost us. The more we thank God and acknowledge his sovereign goodness and grace in our lives, we acknowledge our own dependence upon him day by day. Second thing is this. I hope it's not true of anyone, but it's just incredible when you think of it. Remember those 10 lepers that came to the Lord Jesus Christ? And they met him in the way, and he healed the 10 of them. They were on the way to the priest, and their sores were dropping off, and their skin was becoming as a babe's skin, and they were healed. And yet, only one returned. Only one came back to give thanks to God. And he came back to Jesus and he gave thanks. And Jesus said, well, where are the 9? Where have the others gone? They failed to return to God, to Jesus, to give thanks. I hope that's not true of any one of us. We've been forgiven, made clean, made right with God, heading for glory. And so often, we can live lives which are not full of thankfulness and praise and acknowledge the God. We can be very, very careless in those things. We can be full of ingratitude rather than gratitude to God. So be careful. And then I've got here to watch out. Watch out, because in every one of us there's a Pharisee. In every one of us there's a Pharisee. What do I mean by that? Even when we acknowledge that God is God, and in our lives we say that God is in control of our lives, there's always a danger in which we do it the wrong way. Remember that little parable that Jesus spoke about, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? And the Pharisee said, he came into the house of God all reverent and right before God, and he said, I thank you, Lord. So he's a thankful man. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not as other people. I'm not like him, especially this tax collector. So in one sense, you say, he's thankful because of his Pharisaical spirit. He went from the house of God satisfied? No. He went out exactly the same, unaffected by worship and by prayer and by meeting with God. And there's a Pharisee in every one of us. We do things, we say things for God, and we say, thank you, Lord, and because I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than that. I'm above those. I'm more spiritual than that. You see the danger, even in something good and right and glorifying to God, as being thankful to God himself. How careful we have to be then. Let's have a look at this then very quickly. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. The AV, I think the AV is better, because in your version it says God the Father. In mine it says God and Father. It seems almost a contradiction. God and Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saying really, when we give thanks, we are giving thanks to God as a sovereign God who's majestic and glorious in all his ways, but is also a tender heavenly Father as well, who cares for his people. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, always and in all things. Does that describe your Christian thankfulness to God? We can say sometimes yes. Always, yes, but there are times when we find it very, very difficult to pray to God and to thank God. Very difficult indeed. There are times and seasons But that's the duty and responsibility that Paul is encouraging here. Always. And in all things. Oh, yes, we thank God for those things. We can see God at work in that in my life and in those circumstances. But I find it hard to. And there are other things which we don't give thanks, God thanks for. And yet, the exhortation and the duty and the responsibility of the child of God is all things, all the time. All things, all the time. Does that describe us? Let's have a consideration of that then, as we look at the immediate context. And the context in Ephesians 5 is Christian living, Christian walking, walking before God. Verse 2, walk in love. Another verse, it says, let me find that in a minute, walking in the, verse 8 says, walk as children of light. Verse 15, see you walk circumspectly. We hear much in preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ, how we come to faith in Jesus Christ, but Paul is concerned here for our Christian walk, our Christian witness, our Christian testimony. And in the middle of that, you come to this passage here about giving thanks to God. And the immediate context is this. He says, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. A description of the child of God is someone who has the Holy Spirit living within him, directing, helping, aiding, to serve and to follow and to obey and to live a life which is pleasing and acceptable to God. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If we believe in Jesus as our Savior, then the Holy Spirit, in his gracious mercy and kindness, comes to live within us and dwell within us and work it out, our salvation, as we live before God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. And then he says this, the three things that he says come out because of that is we speak to one ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So he helps us in our worship. And then he says a bit later on, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, verse 21. So you got that, helping us in worship and helping to submit one another before God. And in the middle of that, you've got this phrase and this little text I'm quoting, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the context then. So the outworking of your Christian life, apart from lots of other things, and the Word of God is full of duties and responsibilities, is to be thankful in all things at all times to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our responsibility. Pretty comprehensive, isn't it? No let-out clauses there. No unusual circumstances which will say that doesn't apply in that situation. It seems it's totally and absolutely comprehensive. Nothing is excluded. Giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course we can, it's in one sense, even though there's dangers even in that, but in one sense you say, I can look at all the glorious things that I am in Jesus Christ, and we can give thanks for that. And I'll just quote a few, and you can quote a thousand others as well. But I quote things, and in one sense we can do that, and I'll quickly do that because I'm more concerned with other things. But let me think of the few things that I can quote. My God, says Paul in Philippians, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can you rejoice in that? Can you be thankful in that? Of course you can. That's comparatively easy, isn't it? What about this then? Now thanks be unto God, as he says in 2 Corinthians 2, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Oh, we can rejoice in that. We can be thankful in that. We can thank God and praise God for that. What about this? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, we can rejoice in that. We can be so thankful to God. So, yes, all right. We can all say, I hope all of us can say, the good things and the right things and that Jesus has portrayed in the scripture, we can give thanks to God. And our hearts are full of thanksgiving and praise. Yes, we can say almost all of the time, and in all things, we can thank God for his boundless, incredible mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are in a veil of tears. The Bible says we are born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. In our humanity, in our daily living, in our families, in our work situation, in our communities, life isn't straightforward, is it? It's never straightforward. It's never easy. In one sense, it's always a battle against the world and the flesh and the devil. That's constantly our battle before God. So, to encourage us, I'll just look at some examples in the Old Testament where circumstances are less than perfect, and yet God's men have been thankful to God and trusting in God and saying, God is controlling all of my life. When I say less than favorable circumstances, I mean extremely dangerous and difficult circumstances. And yet before God, they can worship God in spirit and truth. And we come, good noise here, sorry I knocked that, did I? Let's come to Jonah. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. If you've got your Bibles, you can have a look at that. Jonah chapter 9 and chapter 2 and verse 9. And where we read this, you read this in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. So here's Jonah, and he's saying, my heart is full of thanksgiving and praise. And you could say, well, this is a turning point in Jonah. As you know the story, he's been cast into the sea, he's been swallowed by this big fish, and he's in the belly of the big fish. And you could say that there's a turning around. He's beginning to realize that God is God and God is sovereign, and he's turning back to God. And yet he says, I'm full of thanksgiving to God. Where is he? He's still in the belly of the fish. He's still there. He's not out yet. He's still in that circumstance. And yet in that circumstance, in the darkness and the horror of the belly of the whale, he says, I thank God. My heart is full of thanksgiving, overflowing with praise to God, even in the belly of the whale. It's not till the next verse. And the Lord spake in the fish, and he vomited Jonah out onto dry land. That came afterwards. But in the circumstance that God had placed him, he said, my heart is full of thanksgiving to God. The other, and of course you are quoting very familiar situations. Can you think of Daniel and his situation and how much God blessed him and dealt with him? And yet he found himself in a foreign land and having to stand out against all the things that were going on there and being faithful to his God. And listen to this, where we read Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23, where we read this. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. I thank and praise thee. Here's Daniel, full of praise and thanksgiving to God. But what are the circumstances? What are the circumstances? Look at verse 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. They had a death sentence hanging over them. That was Daniel and his friends standing for Jesus Christ, standing for God in circumstances he placed them. A death sentence hanging over them. But in those circumstances, Daniel could say, I thank God and praise thee, for thou art the God of my fathers. In the circumstances he found himself, that was true of him. Turn over a few pages to chapter 6, where we had an even more remarkable statement, where he says, chapter 6 and verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. The context was that if you bow the knee to anyone else but the king, you'd be thrown into a den of lions. Yet in those circumstances, here's faithful Daniel, going, the windows open towards Jerusalem, 3 times a day, bending the knee, praying to his God and worshipping his God and giving thanks to his God. Thank you, God. Thanksgiving to God. Well, wait a minute. It's a death sentence, again, hanging over you, and yet you can thank God. In unusual circumstances, in difficult circumstances, God is still the same. God is sovereign, and he requires from us that thanksgiving, that worship, that trust, that obedience, that willingness to obey him in all things. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ is amazing. And we thank God for every aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And interestingly enough, there are not many occasions where we read that he gave thanks and he prays to his Father. At least it's not recorded, of course it is, but as far as Scripture is concerned, there are very, very few examples of it. And there's one in Luke. If you turn to your Bibles in Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, where we read this. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. The context is the disciples returning from a mission, and they were meeting opposition. And Jesus speaks to them about judgment, refusing the word of God, refusing the gospel, and they'd be under judgment. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! Woe unto you! So in that context, Jesus says, I thank you, and he rejoiced, because his disciples, and if you belong to Jesus Christ, things have been revealed to you which no one else knows. The wise and the prudent, the professors of this world, are nothing to compare to the simple child of God who believes in Jesus and who are seeking to live a life in obedience to his will and to his word. They've been revealed. You see, it's a revelation. It's a made known by the Holy Spirit. If we are full of the Holy Spirit, we understand these things. We live a life which is pleasing and acceptable to God because it's been revealed to us. And you know the story of, the real story of Lazarus and how he died, and Jesus was delayed, deliberately delayed, it seems, and it took him 3 days to get there. And there's all fear and anxiety, particularly among his sisters. And we read this in verse 41 of John chapter 11. Then they took the stone away from the place, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Here again, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. In the midst of death, no, nothing short of death, Lazarus has died. It's death and gloom and darkness. Jesus says, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He said, I spoke that because God always hears me. If but with the benefit of others, for the faith of others. He did that so that we should have increased faith and trust in God. So how are we in thankfulness? How are we in thankfulness to God? And you may have noticed that in all the examples I quoted, they are prayers. They're prayers. So you could almost say, the question would be, are you a thankful person to God? You could almost swap that and say, are you a prayerful person? Because all of these are prayers. It's all tied in with prayer. So are you a thankful person? Are you a prayerful person? Is your life described as a prayerful life? Because that's what it ought to be. All these are prayers. You can't live in isolation. And apart from a God who's close and closer than hands and feet, and you meet him exclusively in prayer. In prayer. The fun. Do you know that I've been listening to sermons probably for 60 years, and do you know the two things that are fundamental to everything I've heard in those times are listening to the Word of God and prayer. And in one sense, it all comes back to that. Do you submit yourself to the Word of God? Or do you trust the Word of God for what it says? And is your life characterized by prayer? Are you prayerful people? We have three nights of prayer coming up shortly. Is it a priority in your diary? Or is it a tag on? When you get up in the morning and you've got a difficult day ahead, is it a priority to commit those to God? Commit the day to God? At the end of the day, do you thank God for his mercy and his kindness and his goodness and his protection and his care throughout the day? Pray without ceasing, Word God says. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Pray without ceasing. Always pray. Men ought always to pray. Always again. Always praying. Pray without ceasing. That should characterize the life of the child of God who's growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a challenge of my own heart. Am I more prayerful now than I was a year ago, than when I was first converted? Was my prayer life ragged and tatty, off and on, depending on my mood and my circumstances? Praying always, in all things, to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most amazing thankfulness comes in Luke 22. And this, in one sense, is beyond speaking. Because the night in which he was betrayed, and we know the story, we know the scripture, we know the truth of it, but listen to this. Luke 22, verse 19. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup. Take the cup, give thanks for it. Communion service, the beginning of that, that's what we base it on. So we know that just hours before, those hands which are breaking that bread and handing round the wine, cruel nails are going to be struck into them on the cross of Calvary. The wrath of God, like a fire, is going to burn up the Son of God. This perfect, unbelievably perfect, beautiful Son of God is going to know the wrath of God upon him, not for his sin, but for our sins. And yet, here's Jesus, hours before, breaking bread and saying, giving thanks to God. He's giving thanks for the bread which is his body, which is going to be broken on the cross. And he's giving thanks to God for the wine which his blood, his lifeblood, is going to flow away on the cross of Calvary in a few hours' time. And yet he's giving thanks to God. He's saying, God, I thank you for this bread And I thank you for this wine, because it's my body and it's my blood. What an amazing gospel we've got, isn't it? What a staggering God we've got. Not just doing it, but giving thanks to the Father. A thankful heart to God his Father for doing what he's doing. What amazing Christ we have. In the midst of unbelievable suffering on the cross, he gives thanks to God. And we have our little trials and our little difficulties. And we live our lives and we moan about that and we complain about that. Is the Son of God himself about to pay the ultimate cost, the perfect Lamb of God, laying down his life on Calvary, giving thanks to God hours before, giving thanks to his Heavenly Father? Well, that lady popping out of the cafe sounds pathetic, doesn't it? I mean, hallelujah, what a Saviour we have. Is he worth following? Is he worth trusting? Is he worth loving? Is he worth thanking God for? Oh, yes, he is. There's no one like unto our God. There's no one like unto our Jesus. At your peril, you refuse to believe the truth of this. You know you're going to know the judgment of hell and God upon you if you refuse to believe that and you refuse to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul in Romans, as he's describing the sin of mankind, they've got God, he's describing God as creator. We know that there's a God because we look at his wonder of his world. And yet he says, you refuse to believe it. And worse than that, you are not thankful. You're not thankful. He says you are not thankful to God. That's a sign that you don't glorify God and you don't love him and you don't serve him. Come to God. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to him. No one who comes to me is ever turned away. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, I can't. I won't. I'm not able. It's too late. I'm too sinful. I'm too unworthy. Come to Jesus Christ and believe in him. And he'll receive you. He'll welcome you. He'll put his arms around you and he'll forgive you like the father and the prodigal son. He'll welcome you back from the far country and you'll know peace and joy with him. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, I would encourage you even again this day, be thankful. Be thankful. In everything, all the time, always, be thankful to God. He's a great God. He's worthy of all your praise, of all your offering, of all your thankfulness, of all your worship. May he help us by God's grace so to do and so to bring honour to him. Amen.